I was grocery shopping this past week at the one remaining supermarket in the food desert of this neighborhood. I got on to the shortest line, and I saw that my favorite checkout person was working it. I'm not quite sure why she's my favorite, since she's almost always crabby, but she is my favorite. There was one person in front of me on the line, and she was having some kind of an argument with my checkout person. And all of a sudden, this woman just burst out, "Speak English!" I was a little shocked. This is New York. That's not supposed to happen. Then a moment later, she screamed out again, "Speak English!" I got upset. I could say that I was upset because this was happening in front of me, which I was upset because of that. But mostly what I was upset because I figured I'm going to have to do something. I'm going to have to say something. I'm going to have to step in. I'm going to have to step up. And to be honest, I was not in that sort of mood. I was in a standing back sort of mood. But I know, and you know, that when it's time to step up, it doesn't really matter what mood you're in. It can't matter what mood you're in. So when I heard in the middle of their argument, a third time, "Speak English," I said to myself, "Oh, Jesus, here we go." And I could almost feel Jesus shoving me forward, trying to get me to step up. And then both of the women burst into laughter and continued their argument in Spanish. I was so relieved. And I laughed along with them as though I knew all along that it was just a joke. And I was so very grateful that I didn't have to step up. The 21st chapter of the Gospel of John is probably my favorite chapter of that whole lovely gospel. And it's all about stepping up, isn't it? Let's take a little look. At the start of the gospel, we have Peter. And we have a batch of other disciples, 7 in total. 5 of them are named, but as you might have noticed, 2 of them aren't, and I always feel bad for them. Why didn't they get their names included in this final chapter of the gospel? Why aren't they named like the other ones? It reminds me of the show Gilligan's Island. Remember that? In the first season of Gilligan's Island, you may or may not remember, the theme song for Gilligan's Island, which I won't sing, listed either by name or by role in life, the castaways, who were also 7 in number, a coincidence? I don't know. So we had Gilligan, the skipper too, the millionaire and his wife, the movie star, and the rest. Not in the first season. Sorry. And the rest. And that bugged me, even as a precocious 7-year-old. That bugged me. The rest? It was just 2 more. Would it have been so difficult for the lyrics to include them? It turned out I was not alone. It turned out that the rest felt the same way, and the composers were soon commissioned and well paid to rework the song and include the professor and Mary Ann here on Gilligan's Isle. And so I have that same reaction to the author of the Gospel of John. Would it have been so very difficult to name all 7 of those disciples present in the final chapter? Would it have hurt? Now, I suppose you could say that one of the rest must have been the author himself or herself, who's identified in this gospel as just the one Jesus loved, that disciple, the one Jesus loved. But I wonder who the other rest might have been. Mary Magdalene? She was around. Could be, but would she have really wanted to spend all night fishing with a boatload of naked guys? I wouldn't have. Could it have been Peter's brother, Andrew? He was a fisherman, after all. Or else was it perhaps somebody who mostly stayed in the shadows? Someone who didn't really step up very much, want to be out there or noticed so much. Someone who was used to just standing back, not making a splash. The thing about this story, as we read it, is that in the beginning of the chapter, nobody is stepping up. There's nobody stepping up. Peter, he had been tasked, you may remember, with holding the Jesus movement together, keeping it going. But it's a movement that had already started falling apart while Jesus was still alive. It had already started falling apart even at the Last Supper, as Jesus gathered at the table with people who were about to betray him, with people who were about to deny him. And so at the start of chapter 21, we have Peter, the rock. Instead of stepping up to lead the movement, he decides to go back to what he knows, what he's good at, what is safe for him to do. "I'm going fishing," he says. And the others say, "You know, we'll come with you." I don't want to be too hard on Peter. He's got to live, he's got to eat, got to make a living, he's got to do something. And in the wake of the collapse of the movement that he gave his life for, doing something probably feels better than just doing nothing. Because if we today see the crucifixion and the resurrection of Christ as some kind of a victory, Peter, I think, probably feels only defeat at this point in the story. Defeat and despair and disappointment and disillusionment. No victory. And the truth is, there is no victory when we fail to step up. There's no victory when we fail to step up. There's only an acquiescence to our own powerlessness and to our own defeat. But Jesus doesn't leave us in defeat. He doesn't leave us in our failure. He doesn't leave us in our powerlessness. He comes to us to love us, to care for us, and then to give us a shove, to prod us to step up. And so, there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus shows up, and he calls to those castaways, "Children, you don't have any fish, do you?" They say, "No." And he tells them to cast away to the other side of the boat, and pretty soon they have more fish than they can handle. How many fish do they have? 153. Yay, you guys are paying attention. And suddenly Jesus is able to step up, to step out of the boat and out of his despair. He puts on his clothes and he jumps in and he swims to shore. And there is Jesus beside this charcoal fire, cooking them some food. And he calls to them all with what I think must be the sweetest words in the whole gospel. "Come and have some breakfast. I know you're hungry. Come have breakfast." Because he's also telling them, when he says those simple words, in Greek it's only two words, he's saying in those simple words, "I still love you. I still want to be with you. And I forgive you for being so lame. I forgive your failure to step up." Because that's what it means to be part of this Jesus movement, doesn't it? Not that we're going to be perfect, not that we're going to get things right, but that we're going to find ourselves challenged by a Savior who mostly wants to save us from ourselves, who mostly wants to challenge us to step the heck up. The author, Rachel Held Evans, who tragically passed away yesterday at the age of 37, she put it this way. "This is what God's kingdom is like," she wrote. "It's like a bunch of outcasts and oddballs gathered at a table, not because they're rich or worthy or good, but because they're hungry and because they said yes. And there's always room for more." And as this motley crew of outcasts and oddballs, you and I are called to step up for all other outcasts and oddballs who make up the family of God, because it is time to step up. When our politicians are tempted to serve only the already wealthy instead of the people they're sworn to serve and protect, then it's time to step up. When our immigrant friends are under attack by a country that has literally forgotten where we come from, it's time to step up. When trans service members are disrespected and disregarded and discharged, it's time to step up. When our queer colleagues are under attack from a church that has forgotten who we follow, it's time to step up. When Muslims or Christians or Jews are threatened or killed in their place of worship, it is time to step up. And when our very planet, this world that God so loved, is threatened by ignorance and narrowness and short-sightedness and greed, it's time to step the heck up. Amen. Let's pray together. God, teach us to step up. You know us, God. You know our reluctance. You know our inclination to stand back, stand in the shadows where it's safe, where we don't have to take that risk. And so we simply ask you to give us a shove, to help us to speak out, to help us to feed the sheep that you love so much, you gave your life for. Amen. Amen.